The history of the modern Olympics is full of amazing sporting achievements, and in 2 weeks we'll again see records fall at the London Games. The history of the Games also show its marketing and use, how the marketing of use and use of posters have changed, how cities and countries have endeavoured to market themselves, and many are impressive works of art. Over the years, artists like Andy Warhol, David Hockney, even Tracy Emin have all been commissioned to create posters advertising the Olympic Games. An exhibition featuring more than 100 Olympic posters has gone on display in Melbourne now, as Madeline Jenner reports.
In the 1920s and 30s, the first radio broadcasts from the Olympic Games transmitted news around the world.
Again, we're out here at the cycling races, bicycle races, and this is the final decision over the 4,000 metres pursuit races. It goes for the gold medal.
Before that, posters were king.
I mean, if you think of the times before television, radio, all the kind of multimedia opportunities we have now, the poster really was, back then, a primary means of advertising and telling people that the games were happening, giving them the crucial information, encouraging them to travel and come and see it.
Catherine Flood is curator of prints at London's Victoria and Albert Museum.
And then as time goes on, you sort of really see that the whole very, well, actually quite soon, that the host cities realise it's a great promotional opportunity to project an image of themselves to the rest of the world.
And so then at that point, I presume we see some that become more like propaganda.
Definitely, yeah. So it's a message about the nation, about a particular city. Really, it's promoting much more than the sporting event itself.
Right now, more than 100 Olympic posters are on display at the National Sports Museum in Melbourne. Many come from London's V&A collection. While the Olympics has always promoted itself as being above politics, Catherine Flood says the posters often inevitably reflect world events. At the Berlin Winter Games in 1936, the poster featured a red and black figure raising his arm in what appears to be a Nazi salute. The Olympic rings appear across his chest.
They're quite uncomfortable to look at now. There's so much Nazi propaganda behind them, really. The Olympic Games were awarded to Germany before Hitler came to power, but by the time 1936 came along, the Nazi Party were in power. And I think initially there were sort of felt that, you know, the whole message of the Olympic Games about international peace and harmony really didn't, you know, connect with what, you know, with their programme of expansion and ultimately of war. But they still realised that the Games could be a major propaganda opportunity. So you see that very clearly in the sort of this very powerful message in the posters. The next time the Games came to Germany in Munich in 1972, there was a very definite attempt to visually get away from that image of the Nazi Games in 1936. And you see a completely different colour palette in the posters, shimmering silvers and greens and blues, and a much more sort of international message. They commissioned artists from all around the world to produce these posters.
And that started a trend, with well-known names like Andy Warhol and David Hockney commissioned to create Olympic posters at later events. The Melbourne Olympic Games in 1956 and the Sydney Olympics in 2000 are also well represented in this exhibition. Margaret Burtley is the General Manager of the National Sports Museum.
The exhibition highlights the 1956 Melbourne Olympic poster designed by Richard Beck, and we've also found some objects in our collection that made use of that poster design. For example, a pack of cards that has the Melbourne poster as the design on the cards. And we've also got several posters associated with the Sydney Olympic Games on display. Many people would remember the abstract figure of a runner carrying perhaps a torch that was perhaps a boomerang. And from that torch was coming a sort of a spray of light or smoke, which was not unlike the sails of the Sydney Opera House. And so that was really fantastic branding for Sydney and very memorable for the Games.
The Australian contributions don't feature among Catherine Flood's top picks, but as a curator of prints and a lover of graphic design, she says she still struggles to come up with a favourite.
It's so hard. I have several. I do love Otto Leitch's posters from Munich 1972. Another high point was Mexico 1968, so fantastic sort of op art inspired posters. And I'm also a really big fan of the April Greenman poster from the Los Angeles Games. It shows a sort of pair of legs sort of almost stepping out of the poster, and that's what's so wonderful about it. It sort of really breaks that sort of two-dimensional sense of a flat piece of paper, and it has this sort of very abstract, almost sort of surreal background.
It's funny because while there are some real artworks in this collection, the Olympics has also been home to a few crimes against graphic design. I know there were plenty of complaints in London when the 2012 logo was announced, for example.
There has. I mean, it was quite fun in a way, just the level of sort of argument about it. It's not very often that you get a sort of whole country talking about graphic design. I think maybe that's made people slightly more cautious of commissioning graphic design. You know, as we've got closer to 2012, the posters for London 2012, the official ones, are actually really fine art prints that are then presented as posters. So they're commissions from leading British artists. From various generations. Yeah, so in this instance, it's definitely been more about art, which is maybe a shame for those of us who sort of love graphic design.
That's Catherine Flood, the Victorian Albert Museum's curator of prints, ending that report by Madeline Jenner. A call to the games, Olympic posters, is on display at the National Sports Museum at the MCG until the 16th of September. They really are beautiful things, those posters, aren't they? And in this Olympics, 12 of Britain's top artists have been commissioned to create posters, so get a chance to see what they're like sometime soon.